When you took people on walks on the trails and meeting them in public meetings and your lobbying efforts, what kind of stories would they tell you about Burnaby Mountain?
I don't think they had many stories to tell us. I think that, like me, when I first got introduced to the core of the mountain by Dean, it was teaching me every day, and like people came to us to find out about what was up there and what were the issues were, and they were all learning almost first time too.
But there was something about Burnaby Mountain that did appeal to the public, because it sounds like once you started doing your lobbying, people became interested very quickly.
Well, it stuck out. It was quite a big feature in the city, and it was all green, it was all pretty.
Yes.
It didn't matter how you looked at it, it was a beautiful attribute in the whole city. It's sort of like if you look at Central Park on the other side and Burnaby Mountain Park there, and it's down by the river, the park's there. There were the key park areas in the city, and people, I guess they wanted to see that stay there opposed to seeing housing all the way up.
So at that time, then the mountain was more of a cultural significance than to them, that they liked the aesthetics of the forest land.
And I also think that there's also a lot to be said for having a good buffer zone between SFU and the city. If you want to have that quiet campus and safety, you need that kind of isolation in a way too.
It seems as if people have more concern now about the ecosystem, the science of Burnaby Mountain, it's the biological diversity and that kind of thing. But was that something that was of concern at that time in those, say, 1988, 1990?
Well, saving the habitat, sure, it's important for everything, no matter where you are, but the having that recreation there was important. And I think that having the beauty there was important too. And it's just just a few reasons why people all agreed upon that made it such a big, important thing for them all to like. And my daughter there, she went to university up there for 6 years. And she would go up there and get her education and come back home. She didn't go up there, get her education, and walk around after school. But on the weekends, she would go up there and walk around with our dogs up there on the weekends.
Oh, okay.
And another thing that's changed up there now is sure there's always been coyotes, but the bear situation, that's changed throughout this whole area.
Oh, tell me about that.
So now it can be a bit scary to go up there, because especially when the salmon berries are around or there's lots of fresh grass, you can walk right into the bears. My wife has walked into them. She's seen them face to face, and she's not thrilled about it. So we created these ecological areas that they can be safe in, but now what do? They live there, and then they come down here into the garbage cans and barbecues, and so you're winning to get the save the land, and then you're causing another problem when the bears take up residence. Even here, like I used, when we first moved here, I didn't think nothing of walking down to Port Moody through the forest with our dogs, but then the coyotes went after him one time, and then we walked right into a bear another time, and now I'm just walking through the streets most of the time.
Oh my! So, do you think those kinds of worries deter people from using the trails?
Yeah.
Is it a matter of just educating people how they can be safe? And
well, it's like people walking in the forest by themselves. Just from humans, you're at risk for being assaulted. With the bears, if you've got numbers, you're safer, and the coyotes too. Mm-hmm. And if you got a dog, keep it on a leash if you think there's bears or whatever. You know, it's another education thing.
Yes. So is it your feeling during that time with the society that people do have a deep attachment for Burnaby Mountain?
I really don't know. All I know is the people that we walked on the mountain, they really enjoyed the walks. They had lots of questions about the plants and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, what was going on, the issue, and they were all willing to put their John Henry on any kind of a petition just like that. There was not much mm-hmm. thought to it.
That was an important role then for the society, was it, to bring that public support to the city?
Yeah.
Then they could use that as in their negotiations.
Yeah.
Did you also feel that the society, it was important that the society played a role to actually motivate the politicians to find a solution?
Well, it was SFU that started the real push for some sort of agreement to be reached, because they wanted to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the city and the public, they were saying, well, what do you want to do? And what's this mean? What is this going to mean to us? And we're wondering, what's it going to mean to the conservation area? And basically, that's when the ball started rolling. And if SFU hadn't said anything about selling off the conservation lands, there would have never been this preservation society and the lobby and everything else that's come out of it.
So the society did really play a key role in informing, motivating the politicians.
Yep.
To find a solution. That
a lot of them were just like me when the first day I hiked up into the middle of the mountain. They hadn't been there. They had no idea how beautiful it was up there, and that there was creeks, there was fish in the creeks, and there's deer there still, and all kinds of animals.
So it was kind of, what I guess, sort of out of sight, out of mind. As long as SFU wasn't pushing the envelope, then the city, it was fine with how things were. Yeah.
It's their desire to grow that started everything.
Do you think that the city is paying more attention now to the conservation area?
I know that they go to the sites that they've opened up for, like the biking area.
Mm-hmm.
But the trail system itself, I think that they will go in if people report a tree falling down or something. Like I said, what their master plan is, I don't know. I don't know what they would like to do.
The people that live in the neighborhood on the edges of the park, including SFU, do they lobby for good management of the park, just because the park has an effect on their land values?
Yeah.
Because they have those natural amenities right there.
Because of the shape of the conservation land being like a cone, there isn't many places where people can park at the park. So there's some on the this side, the east side, people have problems with a lot. If there's a lot of biking going on, they'll all park along North Road there, against between the residence and the park. And a lot of people come there with dogs and not contain them properly and stuff like that. So there's some residents there that were not happy about it being a park.
Oh. They thought
that their real estate would be better off with that land having houses on the other side of the street. And if you go up the mountain towards SFU, you'll see where people park along the side of the road, which really isn't a safe place to park, the way people go up and down there nowadays. You know, all it takes somebody to slip and stumble while they're unloading their bike, and they'll wind up with a car hitting them or something. And then up at the top of the mountain, I don't think there's much parking up there for visitors. I don't know. I haven't been up there for a while. Before there wasn't on the weekend. in Horizons area, there's parking, lots of parking. Mm-hmm.